You're going to see a slide like this for every statistic. When you retain the null, you are concluding. Notice, conclude, decide, based on evidence. No proving, no truthing. Decide, conclude. Hope, if you prefer. Believe. Act as if you want a nice behavioral something in between. The mean difference between these groups or conditions in the sample is not large enough to allow me to conclude there's a mean difference between the populations represented by the groups or conditions. All right? That's what it means to retain a null. There's a mathematical difference, but it's not big enough to conclude there's a real difference out there. Is the relationship in the sample strong enough to conclude there's a relationship in the population? Keeps coming back to that. When you reject the null, you're concluding the mean difference between the groups in the sample is large enough to conclude there's really a difference out there in the population. So two important things. It's a conclusion. It's a decision. Back in the bad old days, and I mean back in the bad old days that ended in the early 50s, there was far less of a rule of what p-value was sufficient. And people would tell you, my f-statistic was this and my p-value is 0.16. I think that's a big enough difference to believe. So in the rest of my report, I'm going to act as if this mean difference in my sample is a mean difference in the population. The 0.05 coalesced over a period of years, stolen largely from early work on math, particularly the math of gambling, coin flips and dice, and cards. But it is a conclusion. When you do ANOVA on the computer, which is the only way we're going to do it, you get an F value and a P value. Again, the F value is the summary statistic for ANOVA. So on homework 2 and 3, or I guess it's homework, 2 and 3, when it says summary statistic, if you did an ANOVA, find the F. And the p-value. And the p-value uses the same rule that you all know and that we've talked about before. If p is less than 0.05, we are going to reject our initial assumption of the null hypothesis that the groups have the same mean because they represent populations with the same mean. P is less than 0.05, we're going to reject that. We're going to change our mind, and instead we're going to conclude that difference is real. When you do things by hand, you get an obtained F and a critical F. There are a few of these in the pink things just because I want you practiced with it. If somebody comes up to you and says, I did this F by hand, now what the hell do I do? You say, all right, where's the F you calculated? Where's the F you got off of the F table? If the obtained is larger than the critical, reject the null. The two conclusion bases will always agree. The critical value is the F value for exactly a P of 0.05. They are the same thing. No. Yes? Exactly 0.05?
Yeah.
Then you double click on the table to put it into edit mode. You click on that and you get 16 decimals. And if it's still exactly 0.05 and 14 zeros, let me know. Mm-hmm. Haven't seen one yet.
We'll go to dinner.
We'll go to dinner. We'll stare at its glory. All right, let's play. First graders given more practice would have better performance on their math test. This is a horrible statement of a hypothesis. I don't know what the hell the IV is. Is it first graders versus something else or more or less practice? I have no idea until I look at the data. When I look at the data, I see that one of my variables is whether they're in the 10 practice or the 30 practice group, and the other one is their performance. Now I know what the hell's going on. And this is here on purpose because sometimes that's what you have to do. Sometimes you have to ask, I know that when you wrote that, you knew just what you were talking about to yourself. But I don't know what the hell you're talking about. What's your IV? When we look at this, we see a mean difference. But when we look here, we see a p-value of 0.15, which means we are going to retain the null. When we retain the null, what we are saying is the difference between 74.8 and 72.4 is not to be believed. That mean difference is not big enough to conclude there's a difference in the population. It's not big enough to believe. We don't expect it will replicate. All kinds of different expressions of it ain't real out there. Now, when I ask support for the research hypothesis, for a two, this is a gentle person's agreement. Let me explain to you how we're going to agree. Isn't it fun when I get to do that? A research hypothesis for an ANOVA, a two-group ANOVA, the only ANOVA we have right now, is either supported or not supported. There's no partial support in a two-group ANOVA. Why would that be? We come back here. Either group two has the bigger mean, group one has the bigger mean on the right, group two has the bigger mean on the left. Both of those, we would reject the null and then notice the direction of the difference. When the ANOVA is significant, which mean is bigger? The bigger one. All right. Yes? Louder.
When do we just compare means and when do we use ANOVA? For example, we'll take up a hypothetical example. We have treatment A, which have administered on two groups, one and two. If I want to compare the performance of one and two, should I use a t-test or should I use an ANOVA?
If those groups are your populations, then comparing the means tells you everything you need to know. Those are population parameters. There's no estimation. There's no inference. Bigger numbers, bigger. But if those are samples from a population, you're trying to tell the populations apart, then you go through the inferential process, including testing the null by looking at the p-value.
It would again just depend on representation, inference, sample, and population.
If you're in that rare situation where you actually have population parameters because you have data from everybody, there is no significance test. The significance test is with the intent of taking evidence from a sample and pushing it onto a population. If you have the population data, there is nothing to infer.
So wouldn't a t-test be like, is a t-test a test of significance?
Yeah, t-test and f-test are the same thing. We'll talk about that later. T-squared equals f, the p-value will be exactly the same.
Okay, for example, in the same example, if I want to look at, say, effect of treatment on groups, then would I be using an ANOVA?
Still. If the data you have are population data, you don't need an inference. If they are population data, it is unlikely that your audience is going to want to look at the means without a significance test. It might be. You can find a couple of journals, particularly in engineering, where they will not publish p-values. They want to do everything with confidence intervals, which is, we'll talk later, is a p-value. Okay, so it really comes down to, am I describing population differences or I'm inferring population differences from sample differences? If I'm doing the latter, somebody's going to ask for a significance test.
Okay,
Always.
Okay. So it's not so right to use a t-test when my sample doesn't represent the entire population.
Well, you're always hoping that your sample is as representative as possible. You know you failed at complete and utter representation, but you do the analysis, you draw the conclusions, and you put it on the stack of other incomplete, probably not right. And if we stack enough things that are wrong for different reasons, different confoundings, different misrepresentations, we hope to get the right answer as an aggregate. And that's where meta-analysis will come from at the end of the semester. We know every study's kind of goofed up. You'll never have population data, and you'll never have something that isn't boogered up a little bit. So we're hoping that we get differential boogering across studies, and that the core of the study, is there a difference between these groups in the population, will emerge out of that mess. It really is that sloppy. And you can't make it better by carrying more values in the p-value or switching from a t to an f. It's still that mess every time. So on the pink things, when it says, do you have support for the hypothesis, you will always say yes or no. Never pick partial. There's no such thing as partial support for a two-group ANOVA.
So the support for the hypothesis
would be whether or not you're rejecting. First, did you get the pattern you expected? We expected that more practice would lead to better performance. We retained the null, so there is no difference. Because we had no effect, we don't support the hypothesis of an effect. We good? Awesome. Patients who receive psychotropic drugs will respond as well to talk therapy as those who don't. So here we have a drug group, we have a no drug group. This time, somebody apparently did this by hand, and so we have an F obtained and an F critical. The rule is, if the F is bigger than the critical, reject the null. So when we reject the null, what we're saying to ourselves is, this difference is too big to believe there's no difference in the population. The sample difference is too big to believe there's no difference in the population. Now, when you're testing the research hypothesis, remember that it's a two-step thing. First, test the null. Decide if there's an effect or not. If there's an effect, look at the means and figure out the direction of the effect. Then, you're ready to test the research hypothesis. So we have a significant difference, and the no drug group has the higher mean. The hypothesis is patients who receive psychotropic drugs will respond as well as those who don't. Respond as well, that's a null research hypothesis. Respond as well is not better, it's not poorer, it's as well. So we hypothesized a null, but we found an effect. Does the obtained effect support the hypothesized null?
No.
We found an effect. We expected nothing. We found something. Does something support nothing?
No.
Bingo. Okay? By the way, we're doing the ones that get goofed up the most.
Because. So can I clarify really?
Yes.
So that information would confirm the research.
The research
It's rejecting the research hypothesis because it's saying there shouldn't be a difference.
In this case, the research hypothesis is a null of no difference. We found a difference. That's wrong.
Okay.
Okay? So, one, the first way to get screwed up is we get a mean difference in the direction we wanted, but it's not significant. That is not support. The second way to screw up is we got an effect, but we hypothesized a non-effect. And the third, you probably guess. Doing the WebEx will improve scores on the computational homework. I got a significant effect. I have a significant effect. However, notice that the WebEx group has the significantly lower mean. The non-WebEx group has the significantly higher mean. We reject the null because p is well less than 0.05, but these data do not support the research hypothesis because they're backwards. How are we doing? These are the three most common ways to screw up an ANOVA research hypothesis test. I wanted to go over them explicitly. Okay, because I hate that schmuck who teaches you the easy stuff, sends you home with the slightly harder stuff, but doesn't give you the feedback on it until after you've taken the really bitchy ones on the exam. Nuh-uh. The pink things, if you take a look at the way they're laid out, are laid out to specifically hit all three of these over and over.
So, in the third case, would you report that in your write-up?
Oh, yeah.
Saying, I found a significant difference between the means.
Yep.
But it is not in the direction that hypothesized, so I did not find support for my hypothesis.
Yep.
Even though I found a significant difference.
I'd leave the last sentence off, but yeah.
Okay.
Contrary to the hypothesis, The group that performed better was the no WebEx group. F degrees of freedom, P effect size. What we'll talk about when we talk about writing these up is, what you do is you describe it, and then you either add the phrase as hypothesized or contrary to the hypothesis. Now you've got the hypothesis, the results, and the hypothesis support all in one place in a way that's not particularly painful. So you just describe it. I would say that between groups, ANOVA showed that the no WebEx group had a significantly higher mean, 92.4, than the WebEx group, 85.6. F, 8.98, this would be 1 and I don't know how many degrees of freedom. P equals 0.001. I'd write that. Then I'd go back and I'd add the phrase, contrary to the research hypothesis. Okay? But yeah. Now we have to decide how we feel about that. Did we do something so contrary to nature that we push this thing backwards, or are we just frickin' wrong? Again, convergence, replication, and eventually meta-analysis. You are going to see a slide like this for every statistical model. In the population, one of three things is true. We reach one of three conclusions. We're either right, or we have three different ways of being wrong. Nothing's changed. These are all the same words that we used, only now it's just expressed in terms of mean differences because we're doing an ANOVA. Instead of saying null is true, we said the group means are the same. Instead of saying we retained the null, we said we decided the group means are the same. This is what's true, this is what we decide, and the fantasy involved here is that we will never actually know this. What we will do is we will take a preponderance of evidence. Have most people found that treatment 2 does better, the same, or poorer? And we will use that preponderance of evidence to decide if we got it right or not.